Dr. Vivian Smith Del Toro. Welcome to the Legacy Interview Series from Women's Centers International, WCI. Today is the third of a six-part series. Each week, you'll hear stories from one woman's journey that inspired an international movement. I am so blessed to be here today with Susan Burgess Lent, founder and executive director of WCI. And we have a guest, Iris Carina, a former member of Oakland Women's Center. Today, we're going to talk about the joyful experiment of Oakland Women's Center in Oakland, California. So welcome, Susan, and welcome, Iris.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Thank you.
We opened Oakland Women's Center in May of 2015. It was a result of people coming to us who had been donating to Baraka Center in Nairobi and saying, hey, you know, we have women with a lot of the same problems that you're addressing in Nairobi. What about a center here? And I said, well, great idea. Let's do it. And we had a fundraiser that provided the funds to find a location, to hire a couple staff. And we put out flyers in the neighborhood. We let people know through word of mouth the center's open. And it was a question for us, if we build it, will they come? And they did. It took longer than Baraka Center. Baraka, we were just flooded with people from day one. Oakland was a slow build. And every woman who came in seemed to be excited about the fact that they had a place where they could hang out, get access to information and resources, meet each other, meet other women. It was the support of the safe place that we were working to achieve and ultimately did.
Iris, you were a big part of that.
I think I started going to the center in 2016, which was 2 months after I'd had a kidney transplant. I'd worked for the state for 32 years. And so I was accustomed to getting up and going to work. And I didn't know what I was going to do. And I'll just tell you, I prayed and I said, Lord, you said you would take care of me if I believed in you. So what's up? And so I got a phone call from a lady who introduced me to a place called City Slicker Farms, who introduced me to Regina, who introduced me to Susan.
Regina was one of our staff members, ultimately.
And we're still friends. When I went into the Women's Center, I'd never been into a place like that. When you go in, people treat you like they're so happy to see you, you know? I mean, and I didn't know what it was. I said, why do these people treat me like that, you know? But then it got to be so comfortable. And there are all types of women, homeless women, women who had homes but didn't have utilities, didn't have a means of having discussions and talking to other adults. And I was bothered by some of that because I had not been exposed to it. I live right here in the heart of West Oakland, but I had been in my own bubble, my own world. And Susan explained to me that some of this place here, the Oakland Women's Center, was the only place that these women had to come to sit down somewhere and not have fear of being hurt. They didn't have a fear of safety. And they would come and have tea, and Susan would have some type of food there. And they would greet you as well, like they've been knowing you all of their lives. With Susan, I could think of something and not, honestly, and not say anything to her about it, not one peep. And she called and said, we're going to have a counselor here. And I wasn't going to go, but I have insurance. but my insurance did not have a Black female counselor. So I went. She said, "Do you matter?" And I said, "What are you talking about? Do I matter? What do I matter about what?" She said, "Do you matter to you?" Never thought about that. The first day, it changed my life. When I walked out of that office, I had a sense of you make a difference. You are important. I spoke at the Women's March. I'm not sure which year that was.
It was the first one in 2017.
Susan asked me to speak, and I said, "Nobody wants to hear what I have to say." And I believed that at that time. But not only did I speak in front of thousands of people, I sang. And that gave me a new look at Iris. And one of the things I'd like to do, when you said the word legacy, I want people to remember something positive and encouraging that I said, or that I made a difference. And honestly, I could tell you a whole lot more stories, but one of the most important ones for me is that I can do whatever I need to do, whatever I set out to do. I'm an activist. I didn't realize that until I started going to the Women's Center. I didn't. And I said, I have an issue here that I need the whole world to know about, at least Alameda County, at least the Bay Area. And I said, "Lord, how am I going to get that out?" And when I talked to Susan about it, she said, "Oh, okay. Well, I'll just start sending it out to people that I have in my list." And because of that, and other people who did that, because when I said that to her, I never talked to anybody about stuff like that. You know, how do I do this? How do I let people know this? I got confidence, so much so that thousands of people applied to these public entities and got their refunds that they were due. That's a big thing. That's a place that you can go to accomplish your goals. You want to learn how to work on computers. You want to learn how to eat healthy. We had a woman, Grandmother Renee, came to teach us about the importance of eating certain things. And we need that in our community. One day I was thinking, man, if I could just get a massage, but I can't afford it. And I'm not going to cry. And Susan called and said, "We have a lady. You don't have to tip her. She won't take any." And she wouldn't take any money from you. And she was an excellent masseuse.
Yeah, she came to the center on Saturdays, and people signed up for that. It was a great thing.
That's wonderful.
I thought about what she does in Africa. And I said, people can see there what those people and women are experiencing. And we experience the same things here. This is my thought. I think the people who have the money, if they can see where people are suffering, they might give or support more. But internally, women in America are suffering. It's just like that.
Yes.
I now know that I can pull myself up. When you call Susan, she doesn't come at you with, "Girl, get up, you can do it." You know, you might open your door one day and have flowers at your door. Okay. You might get a call one day, "I was thinking about you." And just the thought, you might get a call one day, "Let's go for a walk. We don't have to talk about anything." I know the benefit of this type of organization, and we need it. Women need that support. And I told her, she's in the Oakland Women's Center is in my will. And it, look, if I hit the lottery, you in, girl.
So we've had a tremendous experience by listening to Iris's journey, her experience. But we know that the Oakland Women's Center is actually closed at this point. And just like we're virtual today, we're using technology to reach out to women. We're going to continue to do that. But I just want to encourage everyone to hear our plea here. And I'm going to let Susan talk to you a little bit about some of the plans to reestablish Oakland Women's Center. Susan, right. Why don't you take us there? Yes.
Sure. I mean, when we had to close in 2018, we were just a month shy of our third anniversary, and we had served over 240 women with all sorts of needs. I loved being at that place because there was always somebody telling a story. There was new information that came in and said, oh, everybody should know about this. And over in another corner, there might be somebody weeping about and being comforted by somebody. And we had a clothing closet. I mean, it was a terrific place. We can't replicate that now. And it closed largely because we didn't have the funding to continue. But in its new incarnation, we want to establish a virtual presence, a center that people can get on Zoom, they can get on the phone, they can get the same kind of emotional and logistical support to solve the problems that they face. I will miss the part of actually having a gathering place. I mean, we had meals, we always had food there. We had events, you name it, we did it at the Oakland Center, but that'll come. First, we need to go virtual and get back to serving these women with enormous needs, the trauma of the pandemic, of losses, of the increase in domestic violence, homelessness. All of those issues didn't go away because the center did, they only increased. And so I want to get back to helping as best we can with a woman who is of the community and understands the needs. Yeah, that's our goal. What do you think about that, Iris?
Well, in my heart, I would like to be that woman. I want to always give 100 or 200%. And I physically can't do it. But I was just thinking about marketing is part of the problem. Hmm. And I remember talking to a lady who came to a function and she said, well, there are other organizations that do this. And I said, well, I've lived in West Oakland for 21 years. Where are they? Who are they? And I told her, I said, just like Macy's doesn't close down because Target exists. So you can have more than one organization serving the public in the same way. And it's enough out there for everybody, you know. One of my daughters was talking about donating some money to an organization overseas somewhere. And I said, you know, there are organizations right here like the Oakland Women's Center. 18 Reasons is a place that teaches people, taught me how to cook and eat healthy on a budget of $10. And this is something people don't talk about. You know, who have you talked to that said, you know what, girl, I know of a place that if you give money to this organization, it's going to be applied to what they say it's going to be applied to. So I tell my family and friends, don't even give me a birthday present. Don't give me a gift. Give it to this organization. This organization has turned my life around.
You know, there's really no limit to how many things we can accomplish and how many women we can reach if we have the community support and the funding to do this work. It's really important. West Oakland is largely African American, some Latinas. Right. East Oakland is a lot African American and a lot Latinos. And we have Asian women coming as well. there's no limit to who can be involved and what they can contribute if it, because we offer the platform, contribute what you will.
Susan sent me an email and said, "This is you, Iris. These people are looking for women of color to give them grants to be activists." So I wasn't going to apply, but another lady, Esther and Susan, kept calling me. I had one day to do it, and I did it. That's the other thing about the Women's Center. I would never have been in touch with these people. This organization was developed by a Black man, and he wanted to give women of color a voice. I didn't get the full grant, but they said, "We still are going to give you a grant because you don't realize what you have, but we do." We went to LA for a rally. I spoke in front of all of these people. So right now, hospitals call me and say, their staff call me and say, "Could you talk with this person who's facing renal failure? Then they might not be acting right. Could you just give them a few words, talk with them?" And one particular lady, you know, I talked with her and told her she needed to stop doing certain things and saying certain things. Mm-hmm. Because a lot goes into play when what people don't realize, particularly people of color, doesn't realize that they have to know that you're going to follow instructions. And if they think that you're not going to take those 21 pills a day, they're not going to waste their time and money on giving you a kidney. Mm-hmm. So this woman changed and got a kidney in December of last year. But right. This Wayfinder organization, I met them through Susan, you know? And if she hadn't encouraged me, because I didn't think I was capable, it's called the Wayfinder Foundation Rise Up. So if you go there, you'll see my article that I wrote regarding March 6th. And I wish other people had people like Susan.
You had a lot of support there. You really did. I mean, there was Sheila and Regina and Alice.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely.
So we are trying to duplicate Susan in many, many ways. She is basically positioned herself to open other women's centers. And her model is significant. And we talked about that in the first episode. And hopefully, if you are listening, you would go back to that episode as she goes through that model. But empowerment is something that is Susan's legacy. Yes. And the Women's Centers International, the Women's Center in Baraka, in Oakland, those are all legacy empowerment movements. We applaud you, Susan, and we thank you for what you built and what you're continuing to do.
Yes.
Which is show us how to do it and how to get it right.
Yes.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I don't give up. I keep finding the way, you know?
What I like to do, I found out, I like going places and speaking.
Oh, and you can be our ambassador, yes.
You know.
Okay.
So that I will commit to do. And of course, you know, I'll help you in any way that I can.
I'm going to take you on that.
I'm not just talking. I'm not blowing in the wind, because I think if more people, more particularly, not just particularly young people, but an older person. Here I am, 72, and I know what I'm supposed to be doing, and I'm able to do it.
Yeah.
And so I know that when people see people like themselves, then they also can feel that they can do it too.
Well, thank you so much, Iris. Thank you so much, Susan. I'd like to just welcome everybody back next time. We're going to be talking about Show Us the Money. So you can support the Women's Centers movement. Your contributions will help transform lives in the most challenging environments. And you can donate at www.womenscentersintl.org. So thank you so much, ladies.
Thank
you. It's been fabulous.
It's been a pleasure. My pleasure.
We'll see you next week. All right, bye. Bye-bye.